Good afternoon and welcome to Stir It Up. I'm your host, Pam Whalen, and Mike Rhodes is on the controls. And today we're going to be talking about a couple organizations in Fresno that are have been organizing here for a long time and are very well positioned to deal with some of the problems that we're experiencing right now due to the national elections. We're going to be talking with Dan O'Connell, who is the coordinator of the Central Valley Partnership. Welcome, Dan.
Hi, Pam.
And we're also going to be talking to Judy Hess, which is with the Progressive Democrats of America. We're going to start with Dan and tell us, number one, what is the Central Valley Partnership, and you also have an event coming up.
Yes. Sometimes I've heard people discuss the partnership as a chamber of progress, which always gives me a little bit of a smile. About 5 years ago now, previously it was formed as the Fresno Partnership. And the idea was to bring labor, conservation, environment, environmental justice, and community groups together, cognizant of the fact that we're not going to agree on everything. But hey, 75% to 90% of the issues we can seek agreement on, and how to be mature about talking about our disagreements, and then how to work together. Historically in Fresno, I think that we've not done that well, and now the partnership was formed before this national election. Now it's even more important to look at coalition building, networking, smart policy engagement along political lines and social and cultural lines. So the partnership was formed on that basis. And about 6 months to a year ago, we incorporated as a local 501c3. And now I think in many respects, you can see that a lot of the policies and representation that we have in the valley doesn't connect with the problems here. Both rural and urban, we have the highest poverty, city of Fresno, and the west and southern side part of the San Joaquin Valley has the highest rural poverty in the United States, and extraordinary pollution, air and water in particular. And we here in a very rich place too, demographically and culturally. Rich immigrant traditions, many of these people being chastised and marginalized and framed poorly. I think that connecting those dots towards engaging in our policy formation and encouraging people to run for office, encouraging and highlighting the positions of elected officials, and listening to the community to ask them, do those positions express solutions for your problems? And connecting those dots, I think that we might end up with a different context now than we currently have in the valley. And so we're going to be very diligent, and we're going to stay with this until we do connect those dots and we do make institutional change here.
We'll talk about, what does the partnership actually do? What does it look like? What are some of the issues it's been involved with?
So we have four committees. One, equity. They were gearing up for the Fight for 15, and I smile sometimes that our organizer of that committee, every time she names a campaign, it is achieved in some miraculous way, but that was taken care of by the state. We were looking at doing that in the basis of Fresno region. Mobilization, voter education, outreach, community education, and policy advocacy, but the mobilization committee is particularly engaged in just getting people out to events, sometimes protests, or for instance, we weighed in on the residential rental housing ordinance that just came forward, and we had a role in affecting and promoting that outcome. That was good for the city. It was an extraordinary event. So we do weigh in on local and regional policy decisions. And the final committee that is more active is the land use and water. So in a rural agricultural region, how land is used is directly connected to the economy and to the socio-political context. And so everything from parks and how parks are you know, designed and where they're located, to things like sprawl development versus infill, and the complicated, nuanced nature of balancing values such as economic values with will certain policy cause gentrification, even though you want to save resources. So we discuss a lot of those issues, and we weigh in when our member organizations and community leaders think there's an important issue to do that. We meet once a month as well, generally around the middle of the month for our members, and we structure our meetings to promote the same kind of discussions that I'm speaking of here.
You know, let's talk sort of about labor and environmental groups. There's certainly been a lot of conflict in those areas over the years. Certainly the beginning, if we go back a ways, you know, there was a very successful, I would say, sort of defining things of you have to either have environmental stuff, or you have to have jobs, but you can't have both of them. How is that addressed in this group?
So this is our play zone, and sometimes it's having tough conversations. I'll just bring up something like Darling. You know, the Darling rendering plant is a union plant, and yet community members on Southwest Fresno were very adamant about the problems that Darling presented. Temperance Flat Dam represents jobs. At the same time, it is of concern for environmental organizations. The same would be true north of us, perhaps with the twin tunnels that are going to go in, or high-speed rail. We enter into those discussions and have difficult conversations about them. There are win-wins. Sprawl housing. Are those people that are framing houses, are those union folks? If infrastructure investments are going to go in for high-speed rail, do we have PLAs in place for the workers that are going to be there? Are we talking about the benefits I lost my last example there.
That's okay, Dan. Why don't you talk about, you're going to have an event that's coming up.
I'm sorry.
Up. Yes.
The last one was green renewable energy and the amount of jobs that can come from renewable energy.
That are already coming.
That
right?
are already coming in.
Right. So that's the win-win. That's
yeah,
the
win-wins.
Big win-win. Okay, talk about the event that's coming
so
up.
So we have our first, you know, given that we have this history of a few years, but now that we are a local organization, we have our first event is going to be a St. Patrick's Day party. And this is St. Patrick's Day, especially in Fresno, given the history of the San Patricios, is an important frame. We need middle class and Anglos, white folks, in allyship positions with the working class, with people of color, immigrants, the vulnerable. And the San Patricios, the story of what they did, fighting with Mexico rather than to try to gain slave territory in Texas, was an extraordinary story of that being represented. And we have now, since the 1960s, particularly an enormous number of allies from the middle class that might seem unlikely ones, but we need that broad base of middle class and working class working together across multi-generational, multi-ethnic lines. So I'm really happy that we're having our first event be a St. Patrick's Day event and thinking of the San Patricios and that narrative and history and hopefully inviting that similar engagement here today in our modern context in Fresno. We're going to have live music, food, beverage. We are going to have fun. You know, I think Emma Goldman said, if they're not dancing at the revolution, I'm not coming. And we have to now have a lot of fun as well as doing a lot of organizing work and policy engagement. It starts at 6 p.m. It'll be at Tuolumne Hall, which is at 1445 Tuolumne Street. The Central Valley Partnership has a Facebook page. Just go there and check out the event. It's there. You can come up to the door and come in and have some fun.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much. Just want to just give us the just the when, where, and what, just real quick, one more time.
Yeah. Once again, St. Patrick's Day is March 17th. Tuolumne Hall, the Central Valley Partnership membership party, and is at 1445 Tuolumne Street here in Fresno.
Okay. Thank you very much. We've been speaking with Dan O'Connell, who is the chair of the Central Valley Partnership. Thank you very much. And we're going to talk with Judy Hess, who is with Progressive Democrats of America, which maybe that's an oxymoron, maybe not. And tell us, Judy, about what PDA is and what it does locally.
Okay. Progressive Democrats of America is actually a federal PAC. And we are a very, what I call a poverty-stricken PAC. We're not a super PAC. And the donations to PDA are limited, very strictly limited. So you'll never see millions of dollars passing through our bank account ever. But we are a federal PAC. We are not affiliated in any way with the Democratic Party. But we were founded with the purpose of actually sort of infiltrating the party, becoming the insurgency in the party to move, push, prod, pull, cajole it to the left. And we do that in a number of ways. We look at the issues and at how they inform what we do. I will talk a little bit in the national section about letter drops and issue teams and endorsement activity. At the local level here in Fresno, well, we actually do work. We meet monthly. If you'd like to become part of PDA or just look us up and check us out, you can go to www.pdamerica.org. That's www.pdamerica.org. If you'd like to come to a local meeting, we meet the fourth Wednesday of every month at the Denny's at 1110 East Shaw in their meeting room at 6 o'clock for supper. And then we have our agenda at 7. If you'd like to join us so that you get notice of our meetings, just go to that website, pdamerica.org, hit the join button, fill in your information, and as long as we have your address, we'll be able to get you an email to notify you of our meetings. Our local chapters, including our Fresno chapter, were very, very heavily involved with Bernie Sanders' campaign. It was PDA, and you'll see this in his book, Our Revolution. PDA was instrumental in persuading Bernie to run. The decision was made back in the late part of 2013. To recruit him to run, and we basically stalked him for months until actually April of 2015 to get him to do it. And as I say, he wrote about us in his book on that. But the bottom line is that the local chapters are very heavily involved in operating in national elections. Being a federal PAC, right now we only do electioneering at the federal level of offices. So that's House, Senate, and the presidency. Bernie was our very first venture into the presidency. So I have to tell you, we were probably as surprised as he was at how successful we were. In any case, our local chapters work on all of the issues. And one thing we're quite proud of that we did here in Fresno, in our chapter, one of our issue teams is voter access and election integrity. So after the June primary, we were closely watching all of the ballots being counted down at the registrar's office. One of the things that we noticed immediately was that there's something called the 1% manual tally, which is where 1% of the precincts are actually hand-counted. And the way that's fairly and properly done, is to randomly select that 1% of the precincts by number. And that has to be done after the election. Otherwise, anyone and their brother, knowing which precincts are going to be audited, can have fun with that audit. So basically what we did, the folks in our chapter, noticing that Brandy Orth had done the random selection 2 months prior to the primary, we got busy and we contacted all of the registrars of voters, all of the county registrars in all 58 counties in California. We discovered that two of them did the random selection prior to the election. Two more were going to. And when we talked with them, they said, oh my goodness, okay, we're going to fix it. We'll change it. But however, Brandy wouldn't do that. So finally, what we had to do was we had to go to the Secretary of State. And we did that through our advisory board chair, Mimi Kennedy, who's an election integrity guru, through her state representative, her state assemblyman. And he helped us. And now Brandy Orth is actually doing the random selection of precincts for the 1% manual tally after the election. So we're kind of proud of that. And the other county, too, which was doing it before, is now doing it after. So that's exciting.
Well, okay, that's great. Talk to us a little bit about, because we have, you know, had a very exciting weekend just behind us, where you're talking about Bernie Sanders and we're talking about the Democratic Party, and there was an election to decide who was going to be the chair of the Democratic National Committee, and a very hotly contested race between Keith Ellison and Tom Perez. Kind of, you were also at a convention at the same time that this was going on. Just kind of talk about what's happening at your convention and what's your take on what happened within the Democratic Party on that selection.
Okay. I think I will go first to what our people did around the country. Keith Ellison is a member of our National Advisory Board, and so is Raul Grijalva, along with three other very progressive Congress members. And Keith and Raul, of course, are the co-chairs of the Congressional Progressive Caucus. So we were behind Keith from the very, very beginning, and of course, the loss is a disappointment. But what I want you to know is that there were many, many progressive organizations behind Keith. But when the party was having these town halls or round tables, there were several of them around the country, one in Phoenix, one in Baltimore, one in Houston, and two others. What I want you to know is that PDA, although our numbers are relatively almost minute compared to some of the larger organizations like Move On and DFA, we had more boots on the ground for Keith and his campaign than any other national organization. We're very proud of that. We call ourselves activists, and that's because we are. And that's as opposed to what some call clicktivists. And they will be happy to click anything or sign a petition, but where it comes to getting off the couch and getting out there and doing the work, you'll find that it's PDAers who are doing the work. We had a big presence at that convention, the convening of the e-board of the Democratic Party over the weekend, headed up by a fellow named Amos from one of our Florida chapters, and he just got right over there, and he was working very closely with Keith's team, and we all were. About the outcome, well, that is a disappointment. I mean, I'm not going to tell you we're not disappointed. Our hearts were in it. Our souls were in it. Our boots were in it. And we really wanted Keith to win. But I think we have to look at it in more than one way. Yes, we lost that election, you could say. But who would ever have dreamed 5 years ago that Bernie Sanders would get 46% of the elected delegates at the convention in Philadelphia, with Hillary Clinton getting 54. Who would ever have dreamed that Tom Perez would get 213 votes and Keith Ellison would get 200? Those were unthinkable concepts 5 years ago. Nobody would believe it. And I have to say that I think it's partly because of the genius of our late and sainted founder, Tim Carpenter. And so we're very, very proud of what we do. I think we have to wait to see what's going to go on in the party, how what Keith's role will actually be as vice chair of the party. This is a new position. We don't know whether it's going to hold power or whether or not the party will just want him to kind of rope in all the, you know, super lefties like me and just get us on board. So that's going to be important. We'll be watching, and it will be very interesting to see. But I do not believe we can really think of this as a defeat when we came so just inches from the finish line there. So I'm very proud of that. You asked about the other convening that was taking place.
Right.
Okay, the PDA National Leadership, and that's people, chapter leaders, and state coordinators from all over the country, meet once a year at a retreat. And that is, sometimes it's in Winslow, Arizona, and sometimes it's in Las Vegas, New Mexico, because one of our members and a close friend of the late Tim Carpenter's has hotels there. And so we all get together and we go there. And what we do is we strategize. We look at the last year. You know, how well did we do? What did we achieve what we wanted to achieve? Where do we go from here? What's next? I mean, I'm obviously, a few years ago, Bernie was the topic of conversation. How are we going to get this done? And so on and so forth. Then it was campaigning for him, and how did we do with that? And so on and so forth. It's how we work the issues, which are now global climate emergency, immigration, economic and social justice. You look at Bernie's platform, you can pretty much see what our issues are and have been ever since our founding. We have issue teams having a monthly conference call nationally, and our issue teams work at the chapter level. It was our, you know, the issue team on voter access and election integrity that was doing the work here on the registrar's office, and things like that go on all over the country. So that's the kind of things we do, and we plotted our course for this coming year, and a lot of it will be around immigration, helping the people who are subject to deportation. There's no hope in my heart or mind that there's hope in the heart, but not in the mind that anything's going to change much from the nasty deportations we've been seeing lately with the new president.
Okay, well, we just have about 1 minute left. Just kind of tell us, you know, maybe what are you seeing as some of the, just to our, you know, a message to our listeners of terms of what in Fresno are, you know, important things for people to get involved in.
Get involved in PDA. Get involved in Central Valley Partnership. Get involved in the party of your choice. Or the non-party of your choice, but for goodness sakes, get involved. We have a great deal of work to do. The most important word I can say, perhaps, is resist. But beyond resist, come on, we've got to plan, we've got to agitate, we've got to work for our values. We've got a single-payer health care bill that's just been introduced in the California Senate. We're about to found a PDA state PAC, and we'll be able to electioneer now at the state and local level, which should make some of our local people here very happy and happy to join. So I hope you do join at pdamerica.org, because we have plenty to do.
Okay, thank you very much, Judy Hess with Progressive Democrats of America, and thank you very much, Dan O'Connell with the Central Valley Partnership.